Hi, I'm Danny Elfman.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Debbie Harry.
This is Chris Steyer Blondie.
This is Ronan Dorzabal from Tears for Fears.
This is Billy Idol.
This is Alex Ebert, a.k.a. Edward Sharp, giving the story behind the song.
Hi, this is Peter Chotti, host of The Story Behind the Song. Each month I speak to some of music's biggest artists to get the inside stories behind their most lasting and iconic songs. Join me for new episodes on the third Monday of every month on The Story Behind the Song from the Consequence Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, pod people, Engineer Adam here, jumping in for a quick second to let you know about the brand new all-in-one platform for all of you creative podcasters out there. Anchor makes it easier than ever to make a podcast. It's free to use and has all the creation tools you need to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Plus, Anchor will get your podcast set up on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found. Even better, Anchor helps you connect with sponsors, even if you're just starting out. It's the perfect choice for podcasters, so make sure to check it out. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm. Back to the show.
The Star Wars universe is constantly expanding.
But how the heck are you going to keep tabs on it without a holocron? And where in the rim can I score the juiciest news and rumors?
Ah, you seek State of the Empire, Consequence of Sound's Star Wars speculation podcast, where we look for news in Alderaan places.
We dig into the Sarlacc pit of the internet for the hottest intel in the galaxy far, far away. Make Indiana Jones inquiries and keep watch for the latest on Willow.
Find us on consequenceofsound.net or wherever you procure fine podcasts. It's the show you're looking for. Consequence Podcast Network.
Hello to all of you beautiful pod people out there. I am your host, Leor Phillips, and I'm back. I know I wasn't here last week, but everything is still the same. But my little voice, which is still kind of gone and a bit whiny. This is another installment of This Must Be the Gig, your little backstage pass to the world of live music. Each and every single week, I bring you a fascinating conversation from the beating heart of the live music and performance scenes around the world. And that could mean I talk to musicians, festival founders, choreographers, comedians, actors. Really, I seek out anybody who's completely obsessed with live music the way that we all are. And this week, our chat is yet again another episode I recorded in Iceland at Iceland Airwaves, which was their 20th anniversary and my fourth year there. And before we cut over to the little comfy confines of Reykjavik, let's check in with my co-host, Adam Kivel.
Hey, Engineer Adam, on the ones and twos.
On the ones and twos, beep beeps.
The beep beeps.
So thank you for subbing in for me last week. I know that it was a bit of a crazy time.
Was that intro how I got promoted to co-host from engineer?
You've always been co-host.
Well, that's awfully
I thought
sweet
the engineer was just one of those like Seinfeld spoofs. Is that what you call it?
Then why have I been carrying around this pocket square the whole time?
That says Engineer Adam.
Yeah, it says Engineer Adam here. Hey.
Pocket square.
Yeah.
Get in my pocket.
It's monogrammed.
I wish I could carry things around that mean a lot to me in my pockets.
You can.
No, but like shrink things and then carry them around.
Like Pod Puppy Buffy? Just take a tiny version of her in your pocket at all times?
Yes, if I could bring my dog with me everywhere I go, but also maybe my family.
Yeah.
I don't think they would mind. It would be like Matt Damon's downsizing, but it would be Leor sizing. And they wouldn't be living the worst life. I'd give them like little, there's always crumbs of something in my pocket.
I didn't see it, so I'm just thinking about
like
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Trying to feel around my pocket for something. Do you know one day I did actually, what's the worst, the biggest surprise thing that you found in your pocket?
Ooh, biggest surprise or worst surprise? I feel
biggest.
Like those are biggest surprise. I do remember finding
just like a wet Jolly Rancher in my pocket.
Why?
Once. I don't. I still to this day. I do still to this day do not know where it came from.
That's worse than my story of when I bought a really, really cool 80s brown leather jacket. And obviously leather means never wash, right? And never check the pockets until a year later when there was a disgusting drugstore orange lipstick that was definitely from the person who had passed away in that jacket.
You know, so that I had a ghost
lipstick. I just assume that every secondhand or vintage item of clothing that I buy
belongs to a ghost
because I secretly feel like I am one.
You're a ghost collector.
So basically, the crux of the story is I have my voice back and I've used it to tell you I want to shrink my family and that I believe all my clothes are owned by dead people.
I think that is a great moral for the story.
This is a great way to start.
Yeah.
This is a great way to start. How do we segue?
But anyway, back to
Iceland. God, that's awful. We are a very serious podcast, actually.
Oh, yeah.
We cover real
top-tier reporting.
Real matters. Top-tier reporting. We really do, though. And this week is no exception. Dun, dun, dun. This week, I have one of my favorite Icelandic bands, Vik. Is that right?
Vik.
I have a terrible insecurity with pronunciation in general, and now you're giving me Icelandic names to pronounce and Icelandic bands.
And Icelandic is a difficult language.
Thank you for telling me that.
I mean, I'm telling the audience that.
We all know this.
I don't know if everybody knows
that.
I
think that it's difficult and challenging because it doesn't exist, right? You get to Iceland and you're like, you leave and you're like, that wasn't real. None of it was real.
It was pure magic.
Yeah. It's always magic when I go, and I always lose my voice because I speak to so many wonderful people and I can't stop asking them a million questions.
She's putting her voice on the line for you, listener. Appreciate it.
So today we have Margaret and Einar, who have just finished an album. Apparently, according to them, they finished the album that very morning of our interview. So for those who have followed them for a few years like I have, you've just found out they have a new album on the way. But we can't really give that many details right now. You'll have to listen to the episode for more splooshy
exclusive
scoops. Splooshy scoops.
Exclusive.
Exclusive splooshy scoops. The only thing I love more than an ice cream scoop is
a news scoop.
We discuss what they love about the Icelandic music scene, how themes of disappointment and also being afraid of the dark filter into their new album. Also that they'll be going on tour with the Editors, who I love. And I don't know why I just sang that.
Because Editors are such a beloved band that they just inspire music within you.
They elicit the songbird.
There's just a joy that radiates from your heart when you have to say Editors. Just say
Maybe
Editors.
Maybe I can shrink the Editors and have them in my pocket too. Ooh, what the things I could shrink. I digress or progress. You decide. We also chat about the fun antics that happened when one of the band members, not going to tell you who just yet, climbed on stage when they were 7 years old during a punk show. Also, our shared love of Massive Attack and Portishead. There's a lot to unpack. And if you're already starting to skip ahead, don't skip ahead just yet. I know you want to get there. I know you want to listen to this episode. Remember, the only way that people can find us and the only way that anyone ever finds us is through your reviews and your ratings. Just the other day, we got a massive surge from a certain part in the world called France because we had a really wonderful bout of reviews and ratings. And that's the only way. Basically, iTunes and Apple and Spotify, the way that the algorithm works is that if you rate and review, other people can find us.
That means if you love this show, that means other people will love this show because you're cool and everybody else is cool and we're all going to be cool together and love the show
but
together.
But let's not promote the concept of coolness because that's also too exclusive.
Nerds is cool now.
Nerds is cool now. Basically, if you also want to shrink things and lose your voice and travel the world, write a review.
Rate and review us on iTunes.
Find us on Spotify.
Find us on Spotify.
Apple.
Review us. Rate us anywhere you possibly can. 5 stars, please. And also write a review and subscribe. These are all important ways for us to be able to get to other people. And the more people we get to, the more episodes we'll be able to do. It's going to keep growing and growing and growing. It's going to be a great thing for everyone.
If you missed Iceland Airwaves this year, shame on you. But if you missed my coverage of Iceland Airwaves this year, it is all in the beautiful collage of a photo gallery up on consequenceofsound.net. Go have a look at all the amazing shows that I saw. And I'm not going to tell you who's next on the podcast, because I chatted to a lot of people in Iceland, and you're just going to have to wait and see who else is next.
You know where you could find out some hints about who's coming up next? At all of the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at TMBTGpod. That's TMBTGpod. Follow us. We love the community of listeners. We want to connect with you more. We want to share with you more. The only way to do that is through social media and all of these rating and reviewing tools. We'll grow our community and connect with you there.
And you know what the best thing is that lately we've been getting a lot of, obviously people always tell us what their best shows were, but we're getting a lot of people suggesting what we should have on the podcast and who we should speak to. So if you're thinking of the band that you really want to find out how they tour, their relationship to personal performance, to their artwork, let us know. This is us, not the sitcom, the conversation. But you might still cry. Goodbye.
My name is Margaret, and I'm in the band Vuk.
My name is Einar, and I'm also in the band Vuk.
Are those the only bands you're in?
No. Einar?
I also perform with a performance group called Hatari.
I love that. I saw you guys last year.
Oh, right.
Do you wear a mask or something?
Maybe.
I know you. That was a trick question on you anyway. So can you tell people a little bit about that?
I thought this was an interview with Berg.
So this is what they do. They don't want to talk to anybody about what they do. But if you are a fan, people can find the music, at least, somewhere online,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do they find that?
On Google.
Google Map.
Google Maps. Just type in Hatari. I won't push you more. I want to know about the band that we are here to talk about first.
All right.
What does it stand for? Because a lot of people obviously will mispronounce it.
What does it mean?
Yes.
It's basically, a simple description is a hole in the ice.
Okay.
And it's pronounced Vuk. And many people say Vogue.
Yes.
We hear loads of bad pronouns.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yes.
You can swear on this.
Okay.
It's explicit ratings on iTunes,
okay.
So you can swear on this.
Yeah.
The Dutch, they say it best. They say it fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But I get it, though.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get that mad, right? But
no,
you did put
God.
The, you do have the little, what do you call the two dots on top of the
Yeah.
So you do have that, and there is a V, so.
Yeah. It's
an amazingly, visually it looks very cool.
Exactly. Like when we were naming the band Vuk, it was just like, it's fantastic on paper. But we didn't think at all
about
how it would sound in English or like
right
all over. So, but I mean, I like it. We like it.
I find sometimes it sort of looks like a fashion brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And I mean, sometimes it's called Vogue.
Yeah, Vogue. It's like, my name is Lior, but people are like Dior because
yeah.
they think that it's, you know, a strange name. Where did you grow up? Let's start at the beginning. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Hafnarfjörður and Akranes. Hafnarfjörður is basically a part of the city, Reykjavík. Mm-hmm. It's basically like a suburb, mm-hmm. yeah, in Reykjavík. And Akranes is like an hour away from Reykjavík. So I'm like 50-50 there.
Okay.
Yeah, and I traveled a lot when I was growing up. So I was born in Switzerland, spent a lot of time there. Also in Reykjavik and also in Brussels, Belgium.
Oh, wow. I covered a big festival in Belgium many years ago.
Which one? Dour?
Werchter?
Werchter, yeah.
Werchter.
Rock Werchter.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a huge festival.
Yeah.
Brussels is quite scary, actually. Yeah, the center. And I'm from, like, South Africa, so I handle stuff. But Brussels, I found, it's beautiful, but it was quite seedy in some parts. Like, they told us we weren't allowed to walk around alone.
Yeah, I think, like, the first time or, like, the only time I've been to Brussels, there was, like, a terror thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so creepy.
Yeah, very dark.
Very, very dark. I think I've never been that scared.
Yeah, I know, and I haven't either. I've been to very weird, scary places.
Yeah.
So that's where you grew up, but then where did you... So now you live in Iceland. Okay.
For the last 6 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did the two of you meet?
We basically met in this competition called Musiktilraunir.
Oh, yeah.
Music experience.
Mm-hmm.
Experience. Experiment.
Experience sounds better, so
yes.
That's fine.
Both. But yeah, we got to know each other there. He was in a band called Kyrr.
Yeah, we were competing against Vök. At the time.
And you lost.
I like that you at least admit it. Even though it was in the past, you could have changed the details, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you lost, you won. And then who contacted who?
Then we actually traveled to the Netherlands, to Rotterdam together. Because one of the prizes for winning was to take part in this program called Stage Europe Network. Which
okay.
is like for young musicians, like from... various parts of Europe, and Vök was going there, and the people organizing the competition, they also offered my band at the time to join them.
Okay.
Because we were so few, so we spent a week together in Rotterdam and just making music and having fun. And yeah, after that we became pretty good friends. So
best friends. Don't forget.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. What are you thinking?
Now we are.
So when you first started then playing together, did you know what kind of shape the band was going to take? Did you know what path you were going to go along? Because obviously I saw you a few years ago. And how it shifted is incredible.
I mean, like, in the beginning, we kind of... I mean, me and Andre, he's not here.
Yeah.
We basically... Yeah, we were just two. And we basically, at that time, we knew how kind of a sound we wanted to make. And we did that. And that was, like, that period.
Mm.
But then, I mean, we just wanted to experiment with just the electronic music and just, like... try to find our sound and I basically like what I had been craving a lot was just like to get more and more power and something more up tempo, and I think that's what we've been working on for the last years, and I mean just evolving and just learning new stuff, writing new stuff. So I'm talking in circles.
No, I understand. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think it's also really difficult to answer that question, I suppose, because you don't really... I think if you're inside of it and you're making the music, you don't really know how far or how much it's changed as such. You just know what you're doing next and
exactly.
where you're going.
It's just like you do what you feel then. And like you can see our... like in our two EPs and our last album, there's always like a big change there in between.
Mm.
So,
do you find though that your experience before this project, do you find that has helped as such to know what you don't want to do, what kind of music you don't want to make?
Yeah, definitely.
Were you in a band before?
I was in a band when I was, I think I was 13.
And wow.
And I was with Ole. He was in the band before. He was a guitar player. Mm. He's basically like my little brother. And we were in a band called Wipeout.
I love how you like just said it. You weren't like, I'm not going to tell you the name because I'm embarrassed. Good. I like it. You're brave.
Yeah, I really hope that it will never, that music will never get to the surface.
Well, now that you've said it, everyone is right now Googling it's Atari not, music and Wipeout.
Yeah. But it's not on the internet, so you will never find it.
You will find it. Okay, yeah. So you did that. And you, how long have you been playing music?
I started playing drums when I was 13 years old.
Oh, wow. Also 13, lucky number 13.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's it's an age where you kind of start wanting to realize who you are.
Mm.
I don't know. That was it was a bit of like a identity
completely
moment for me. Then I just went really all in into music. I stopped playing sports and was just listening to music and playing instruments. All
what
the
was
time.
The first instrument that you picked up?
It was drums.
Okay.
Yeah, and I played formed a band with two of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Called Splinter. With a Y.
God.
I've never heard that.
No. Guys, where do you come up with this stuff? That's so great. Splinter.
Yeah.
And Wi-Fi. That's so great. Okay. Carry on. I'll stop giggling.
And I played in a bunch of bands when I was a teenager in Brussels. I was playing at local pubs and sort of was trying to be an active part of the Brussels music scene. But I was always an outsider.
Mm.
And my bands also were sort of looked as outsiders because we were all basically international people.
Mm.
So it was really nice to come to Reykjavik and start, you know, being active in the music scene here because...
Was it easier?
It was easier because...
That's so surprising because it's so small.
It's that's the thing. It's so small and there's it's just so friendly.
Yeah.
It's so like it's like a big family and there's nobody like, you know, there's none of this like people competing really except for the, you know, me.
Yeah. Where she beat you. Yeah.
There isn't this like attitude of like... Yeah, like I'm in an indie rock band, and you're also in an indie rock band, and
there's no space for us. Yeah,
and it's just like, yeah, people aren't. I don't know. The egos I find are smaller in Iceland, which can be a very nice thing.
Absolutely, it's so rare as well. The only reason why I was surprised was because in South Africa, it's also a really small industry because it's tiny, but then now I'm in Chicago, which, you know, there's just millions of people all trying to do the same thing. But do you find that because there was no ego, you were allowed to explore that creativity as an artist? Do you think that that directly affected what kind of art you made because you came to Iceland and it was easier to find people to play with? It was easier to be open about being an outsider. Or do you think you would have followed that path anyway?
There's many layers to this question.
Have you met me? I don't know. Sorry.
I think in Iceland it is very easy to make alternative and experimental music. It's actually, you know, if you're sort of in this current music scene, it's a bit strange if you are making
normal pop,
sounding quotation marks music. Like I think there's a quote of Monsters and Men which is, the strange thing about us is that we're not strange.
I love that. Yeah,
that allows for great level of experimentation and just very creative output in Iceland. But it's difficult. It's also difficult being an outsider in Iceland. And it's also difficult being an outsider in Iceland when you speak the language, because people assume that you have a background here and you're not a new person. So they just assume that you sort of have plans, you know, for the weekend. Assume that you have your friend groups. And stuff. So it took a while to kind of get
acclimate.
Yeah.
It's make really hard in Iceland to get into the groups.
Is it really hard?
Yes.
Guys, I find that it's hard around the world, everywhere. But South Africa's pretty hard too. Israel as well. I lived there. It's also really hard. But much easier than America, because Americans are. I'll cut this out the podcast. Because this is American podcast. But yeah, that's... But so they thought that you were Icelandic, because you could speak the language.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So they
just assumed you were
that I had
from
plans
here.
And
okay.
You know, so I would never normally get invited to parties or anything like that. So it wasn't until, like, you know, I was starting to work actively in the music scene that I, you know, was starting to meet other musicians and sort of, you know, get friends that way.
What age did you come to Iceland?
I was 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a little older, but still at the cusp of, like, you still think you know your shit and you think you know what you love. And wait, how old are you now?
I'm 26.
Okay, yeah. So you got a few years after that. Why is it easier than to make experimental music here, other than the fact that there are just people open to doing it? Why do you think there's a particular courage to be able to think outside? Is it because the radio stations aren't playing what, you know, normally UK or US audiences would be hearing, the standard normal stuff? Or do you think it's just the music that Icelanders have always made?
I mean, we have, like, great role models here, like Björk and Sigurós, and I think the Icelandic music scene is really open for basically everything. It's, as we said, there's a lot of space here for experimenting, but
I think it's also, there's no big industry here. There's no
exactly,
you know, for example, there's no publishing company. There's only a couple of record labels, only a few record stores. Everything is very small town feel, and there's no sort of industry telling you that, hey, if you want to make money and be successful as an artist, you need to be making this sort of music. There's no money to be made here, you know, sort of, or at least to a large degree.
Yeah, right, right.
So I don't think that's really, like, in anybody's minds, really, when they are kind of just sitting down and writing music. Like, they're not thinking, like, yeah, I'm gonna write my next big hit.
Yeah. But that's quite a wonderful way to treat your art, because I always think a little bit about the word intention and, like, why you do the things that you do. And I quite like that you don't have that worry constantly, or you don't have to fit into any mold. Obviously, it would be amazing if you could write that one hit and then, you know, it goes out in the world like Americans or people from Europe and the UK. But I think that that's quite an amazing start to your process. Where are you at now? Are you releasing new music, or how is that? Where are you in that process?
We just finished our album at 5 o'clock this morning.
No way! Guys, we all just high five. I put my own high five in there. That's wonderful. So you finished that. So when is that coming out? I'm so greedy. When is that out for the public?
I think the release date hasn't been announced, but it's going to be early next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it already gone for mastering and everything today?
Yeah, just received the master, 5 o'clock this morning.
That's so crazy. How long have you been working on it?
Basically from the beginning of summer. This summer.
Yeah, like April.
April, yeah.
That's when we kind of first started.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting things down. So it's been a hectic summer.
Mm. Yeah. But isn't that the best way that it happens? That's like you need that so that you can... I don't know how what type of artist you are, but like I'm sure that working in different projects helps you focus more. So doing multiple things at once helps you focus more, right? Or is that not the case?
It helps you get panic attacks.
I know. But maybe that's what some people need to function.
Yeah. I think deadlines are great.
Yeah.
I love failing and hate.
Not meeting deadlines.
But at least like when you have somebody that is making a structured plan for you, or you know you're planning for some months in advance, it's a nice way of managing your time. Like when you're sort of just working towards something without any clear deadline or release date or something, it can I think almost always stretch for a really long time.
Is that because I know that a lot of artists that I speak to, if they have studio time, that also affects it because they've got to pay. So the amount of time that they spend in studio, they lessen because the more expensive it is, you know, the longer they're there, the more expensive it is.
I find that really difficult to work in an environment like that.
Because
I'm just thinking like, oh, I'm not making the most of my time here. I don't know. I really prefer working just at home.
Is that where you recorded the new album?
Yeah, basically. And also we went to London to work with a producer. He's called James Earp. Mm-hmm. And his environment is really chilled and like...
Very homey.
Homey, yeah.
Mm. Do you have a name for the album?
I'm just trying to think.
I'm a lie detector. You can't get past me. You don't have to say it if you don't want to. But you can announce it on my show.
Can we? Can we?
You can.
Yeah. Do we? Can we?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Maybe you can't. Can you?
I don't know.
Just the name.
When does this get aired?
Oh, like next week.
Okay.
It's going to be a surprise. Oh my God.
Sorry, fans. But actually, that will keep them, you're teasing them. That would keep them excited. But can we talk a little bit about the first concert that you ever saw, whether that's in Brussels, where you grew up, or here? The first show ever that you saw, and or one that was the most memorable.
Oh,
do you remember
God.
That?
I think the first show that I saw was like when I was like maybe 7, and there was a band playing outside my school, and they were called like Pig's Ear or something. It was like Grisa Eira.
Wow.
Pig's Ear.
Yeah,
okay.
It was sort of like. Vaguely remember them being sort of punkish, and I got invited onto the stage and took one of the, like sang one song, just
what?
Total gibberish with them.
Wait, were you? Are your folks? Are your parents in music?
No.
Okay. So they didn't like push you on the stage. Usually musicians would like push their kids on stage. Okay. So you just ran on stage.
Yeah, he. I think he dared me, and I was always, if somebody dared me to do something when I was a kid,
you would do it?
I would do it, yeah.
That's amazing. I was like so scared.
Yeah, me too.
So and then after that, did you want to perform?
It wasn't until I was like, I really didn't have much interest in music. Like I listened to Limp Bizkit. That was my favorite band for many years when I was a kid. And Eminem, and then it wasn't until I was like 13 that I started discovering like sort of these old bands like Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and stuff, and got really into music. What was the first show that you
what was the first show you are you thinking now?
Absolutely no clue. I am
the
trying
first show
the first show. It's just because I'm overthinking right
now. Yeah, of course, because it is a lot to say the first one.
Yeah.
Or maybe a show that you saw that affected you as an artist, that you saw someone performing and you thought, this really talks to my heart, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Was there anything like that?
I saw Portishead and Massive Attack the same summer here in Iceland a couple of years ago. And I was just completely mind blown. Beth Gibbons, the singer of Portishead, she just like, I think my jaw was just like on the floor, like the whole concert. And they had like amazing visuals and just like, it was spot on. And it was like in this flugskýli. It was in a hangar in Keflavík at the airport. And yeah, it was just like so unique and so cool because like Portishead is my all-time favorite band and Massive Attack. And that's basically the reason why I'm in the music industry.
Was it because of the style of the genre? Because obviously Massive Attack is one of, and Portishead also, what I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I will never not love that music. But is it because of the feeling that it gives you, or because you actually love the songwriting?
I like just everything.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. I've been listening to them for a long time, and there's something just with the UK music, trip hop, that genre, and that
time whole era, 90s. Yeah,
it just really, really speaks to me. So
there's one. I was just thinking, Massive Attack's one video that played on MTV. I don't know when you guys got MTV in Iceland. We got it like in South Africa very late, like 97 or something. I don't know when.
We had Pop TV, which I think was our equivalent, and there was a lot of stuff that was played on MTV, was played on Pop TV.
Okay, yeah. Pop TV. Is it still around, Pop TV?
No.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
And Unfinished Sympathy, which is one of my favorite Massive Attack songs.
So good.
It's so good. I like it. Literally listen to it once a week if I can.
Yeah, they're like...
Maybe more.
Those songs are just timeless. They're absolutely timeless, so... Yeah.
And then do you remember the first show that you played together as
Vuk?
Vuk? How do I pronounce
Vuk. It?
Vuk.
Vuk.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Vuk. Basically. The first show. Basically, the Vuk first show is at Musiktilnir. That's
okay.
At the music.
Yes, at the competition.
Yeah.
But then when you shifted, when was that and where was that show?
The first show that I played with you, I think, was in... In Vilnius.
Vilnius, really?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And that was a crazy, crazy gig.
Why?
I remember our
Why was it crazy?
It was just like so many people and like really great vibe, and we were like playing outside, and it was like, yeah.
It was
super
like
nice weather.
It was really hot.
And I remember our manager was staring at me the whole concert, just waiting for me to fuck up.
Why were
He's
you
like a shark, our manager? He's like,
are you known to mess up? Is that why he was watching you?
It's the first gig, you know. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
He a lot riding
challenge
on it.
People.
But that's why you love him, right?
Yeah,
you need
course.
That. You need that.
It,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the first one. Do you have any shows maybe that you not local shows that you've gone overseas to play that have really stuck out? Anything that you remember a show being really memorable?
I think I'm never gonna forget the one in Colors of Strava.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, that was like that was probably one of the biggest shows we've ever done, and it was. Yeah, there was just so many people, and it was so, so hot there. And, like, I just remember the just, like, the sweat just leaking in my eye. I was just trying to see.
Oh, my God.
It was, yeah, I don't know. There was just something really magical about.
I remember, like, Ole's guitar, it turned, like, white after the show because of
what?
The sweat.
What color was it originally?
Like
black
basically black.
Yeah. Yeah. A girl threw like a panda teddy bear to the stage. Like, I love pandas.
That's nice.
Yeah. Roskilde, that was you were on the sound there.
Yeah.
It was a girl that asked me to marry her.
Really?
So,
is that the strangest thing you've had from a fan? A panda and a marriage proposal?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you often get fans coming up to you and inviting you to?
They're usually quite just nice and
polite.
This is probably the craziest, craziest moment, I guess. Yeah.
And talk to me a little bit about touring and how you find it, because obviously you, as the industry here, as you said, there's not much of it in the traditional sense of things, but when you having to tour all the time and being away from your family, how do you connect with that? Because each artist is different. I can't just assume how you relate to touring. So how is it for you? Do you enjoy it, or is it just you prefer being in the studio?
I mean, probably the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean, it changes by the days, you know. But we love it. But as we said, it's hard because of like family, and it's probably hard for everybody in a way. But it's so.
I just love a bit of both, I think.
Yeah.
Like, studio time gets, you know, it can be too much sometimes, and touring can be too much, and I think the grass is always a bit greener.
Yeah.
And I'm finding like touring a little bit more difficult now after I had a daughter.
Yeah. That happens when your life starts to shift like that. That happens. Yeah. How old is your daughter?
She turned one.
Oh.
Just last.
She is the cutest.
2 weeks ago.
Oh wow! Is she a Scorpio? Do you believe in star
signs?
Leo. No? What's before Scorpio? Libra.
Isn't that Libra?
Yeah, no, wait. Libra. Because...
Oh.
What's before Scorpio? No, it is Libra.
The
October. The scales.
Yeah.
Ah, she's a nice one. Yeah. She's a sweetie. Yeah. Okay, so she turned one. Gosh, that must be difficult touring.
It is,
Without being around.
We, you know, we're trying to not tour too much. Like we, you know, our plans, we're making plans for 2019, and it's I think we're trying to preserve our mental health with the plan that's in motion.
Of course. And that's difficult, but you have to put that down. Even if you want to get to as many places as possible, you have to have control over that. Well, what do you love then about touring? What is it on the other side of it? What is it? Obviously, it allows you to come face to face with fans you've never met before. But what else about it does it really speaks to who you are as artists?
It's just like the expression you get, or like just utrosin,
the output
energy.
Yeah, the energy. Just like. It's always like when I come home from like a month tour, it's just like,
yeah,
I hit like the rock bottom, and I'm just like, what am I doing? Why am I here? So, but it's amazing to be able to like travel all over Europe and see all of those people and
see new places.
It's just like I had never imagined I could be doing this, you know. So
do you have a favorite place that you visited yet that you just always wanted to see and that you really loved, a city or a country, wherever?
We always have like an amazing time in Poland.
Oh really?
Yeah
Poland's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you play a festival there or just a show?
Just a show.
Oh, okay. When did you go there?
We've been there now every year for the last 3 years.
Oh, really?
We do our biggest shows there, actually. It's like our
That's
biggest,
so strange.
Biggest market.
Why do you think?
I think it's the Iceland
Link
connection.
There's a,
There's an amazing festival called Off Festival.
Okay.
I don't know if you've been to that or know about that. You should definitely try play that. It's great. It's all... this your kind of music and or harder, very experimental. It's kind of their alternative festival.
Yeah, we still haven't like gotten a lot of festivals, so we like still are waiting for that moment.
Is there a festival that you want to play?
Rockfester, that's like my I've been there I think to one or two times.
I'd love to play Reading and Leeds.
Yes. And of course, what is it called? The biggest one in
Glastonbury.
Glastonbury. Yeah.
Well, they didn't have it this year. Yeah, they have to like clear the field
and
give it a rest for a year, and then they'll come back next year. It's pretty cool. I like that because the guy's like, I don't give a shit if you want to come to my festival. Yeah. I'm just going to preserve the nature, and then you can come back and kill it next year.
Yeah.
And then talking about Iceland Airwaves, what do you, because I've covered it now, I think this is my fifth year or something. And I know that it's shifted along the years, and especially this year without things happening at Harper. I know that you're playing Harper tomorrow, which is also, there's barely any shows at Harper, as you know, the last few years, all the shows were there pretty much. Why do you love playing this festival? And do you find that it's as exciting as it always has been, because it's, you know, your hometown?
I mean, there's just something about Airwaves. It always, personally, it gives me like butterflies in the stomach. Iceland Airwaves they have done a lot for us. Like, we've got, and also like the KXP thing, and it's just like, yeah, I think we would be a bit stiffer coming.
We wouldn't have gotten as far.
If
it hadn't been for Airwaves, for sure. It's sort of like the annual party for the music scene here.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, the vibe is like, it's the whole city just like changes like for a week. And it's just like, it's, I don't know, it's such an adventure.
Yeah. Mm. Like, where to go now?
Yeah. And you'll never be disappointed, which I think is so rare.
Yeah.
There's so many festivals where you're like, oh, I don't want to go to this random place that's 45 minutes walk away. But if you go, you know you're going to find something.
Yeah.
And especially this year, what do you think about how there's not many international acts as there has been in the past few years? Like Mumford & Sons played here. Was it last year or the year before?
Yeah.
There's been those like big international acts, but this year there's international acts, but not as huge.
Yeah.
They're usually like third line on a festival. We love them, but what do you think about that?
I don't know. I think like the festival doesn't need it. I think it's not necessary for this festival.
It's not that sort of festival.
Yeah, like exactly.
It's a showcase festival for the next big thing or whatever.
For artists on the rise.
Mm.
I think, and that's something that maybe like, for example, South by Southwest have lost a little bit over the years.
But they always say that Iceland Airwaves is similar to that, right? Because it's like in different venues around the city and figuring things out.
Yeah.
But there is something quite magical about Iceland Airwaves in that, again, they don't put anyone in that they know are shitty. They're only putting, there is quite a process to get in. Or do you feel like there's just every band that's available in Iceland is playing Airwaves?
I don't know.
I find sometimes there's acts that I would like to see on the roster, but they're not there. And I don't know the reasons. It's like every year I'm like, it's interesting why this band is not playing at the festival. Yeah, but they curated really well for the most part.
Mm.
Like it's they're really in the grassroots, and they know what's happening in the underground scene, and it's sort of they're not always just picking their friends and their closest.
Yeah.
Colleagues or whatever.
Do you feel like there's a genre and a trend right now in Iceland? Because last year I found there were a lot of hip-hop and female rappers.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many. And this year I'm finding there's a lot of pop artists, like much more than I ever maybe listened to. Maybe I'm just listening to them for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find that there's like a trend in the music scene at the moment at all?
I think, the hip-hop and pop are still...
Pop is getting more accepted.
Yeah.
I find, like,
why do you think? I know that's a hard question, but I'm genuinely like, I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
I'm like genuinely curious.
I don't really.
It always goes in circles.
Mm.
I think we're just ready for more party now or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because the world's so shitty, we need something. But I mean, your music is still, it feels like that as well. There's a lot of hope in it also. It's not, even music though that is quite dark and down, I find this.
Yeah. I mean, we love to, we're a pop band. We're a pop band. But we love to write about dark things. So, it's nice to mix it up.
Writing those things and then performing them, do you disconnect from that? Because obviously you've got to then relive whatever you wrote. Do you feel like you disconnect from the lyrics somewhat in that sense? Just so that you can perform and click off and become this, you know?
Yeah, I usually don't like just get deep in the lyrics when I'm performing them. Because, I don't know, I've never thought about that, though.
Well, just because I once interviewed this man who had lost someone very close to him and wrote about it. And then I was wondering how he felt singing it back and also having people sing it to him. It's like, how do you feel when you've gone through something so big and then having someone else singing it back to you? It's kind of, it's a strange relationship.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a singer, but I would imagine it's maybe a little bit of a therapeutic thing when you're writing about like personal things and you're kind of getting this this release by putting it in your art and then it's sort of out, like
I think it's for me personally, like when I write it I feel it a lot then, but it's basically as it's like it shuts.
Yes, it's
it's out in the world. Wow. It's basically like
it's out. Yeah. Somebody else's.
Yeah, basically, you kind of just have to relive it through the lyrics and.
I don't know. It's a straight. And it was just something I was wondering about, especially because you do write about things that are close.
Yeah.
You know, close to you, and then you have to sing it and perform it.
Yeah.
And everybody has a different way. Like Alice Cooper, when I chatted to him, he is completely different to Alice Cooper on stage because, of course.
Yeah.
So, but he can tell you how he felt when he wrote it, but he can't tell you who he was on stage. It's like he blanks out, you know? Yeah. Like a coping, like to cope, you know? So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's sometimes a blackout. You can't.
Like, yeah. So can you talk at all about the new album? Just maybe, you don't have to give me the name, but just maybe the themes that you've written about, the things that you have started to explore.
I mean, yeah, we basically wrote a list for each song. It was like disappointment, afraid of the dark, just like heartbreak. Dishonesty. There are just like these basic human emotion what everybody probably feel. And you can, I mean, it's hard to not. Yeah, it's really straightforward. Forward this album. You can feel. Yeah,
It's the music is brighter. Than it has been before.
Yeah,
it's like more direct, and you know, some would say a little bit more poppy. But the themes are quite dark.
Yeah,
I don't think there's one happy song.
So the melody is happy, but the songs, the intent and the actual narrative of the songs is a little down. Okay, but I like that. That Jack's, the contrast. I think that's really interesting. Because most dance songs, which is why I love dance music, most dance songs or electro from the 90s is also really dark.
Yeah.
And people are like all dancing and singing and they don't even know what they're singing about.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and if it's out next year, how, because you're at a weird space now. You're going to play a show tomorrow and then you have months before the album comes out. What do you plan on doing?
We're actually going on tour.
Ski? Basically.
But we're going on tour. We're supporting editors.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Starting next week.
Yeah.
We're going to do, I think, 10 or 8 shows with them.
Yeah, 8 shows.
That's amazing. Yeah. Justin is a friend. I will message him. He's great. That whole band is incredible.
They're nice.
Yes, okay. Very nice. Yeah. I don't know the rest of the band. I only know Justin. Yeah. But They are so good live. Oh. And their fans are obsessed. So you'll have, okay. you'll be able to warm them up, you know?
Okay.
Well, so you leave next week?
Yeah. Wednesday next week or Thursday.
Is this the biggest band that you've opened for?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Are you frightened?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. But that's amazing. What an accomplishment as well. And especially because you'll be able to learn also so quickly. Yeah. Where other bands take years to do that. It'll be like a crash course, you know?
Yeah.
We've never done a support tour like this before.
Yeah.
So we're excited to do something new on the road, yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully, like, I mean, these are huge venues, so we might get a couple of fans.
A couple of new fans, yeah.
Do you have, like, a saying, just to end off, I know this is a kind of strange thing, but do you have a saying that you love in Icelandic that somebody might not know, or phrase, just something that, I know a lot of them are revolved around fish, but yeah. Is there something that you love to remember maybe when life is a little challenging and you need like a pick-me-up? Is there anything?
I love the one at the Kimmerholt með kalda vatninu.
Ooh, interesting. Mm-hmm. There's one that is used a lot, which is þetta reddast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What does that mean?
They basically mean the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Kimmerholt með kalda vatninu, that basically means it comes with the cold water. It's basically, oh wow, it's hard to describe.
I wonder if it's like something to do with like cooling down a burn with cold water.
Yeah. Mm. But it's like the Kimmerholt með kalda vatninu. That's, I think it's like, for me, how I understand it, it's basically just like, slow growth is healthy or something.
Okay, like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And the other one?
Þetta reddast.
Yes.
It sort of means it will sort itself out.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, basically.
It will just sort itself out.
It will sort itself
out. Yeah. I love that. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And good luck for tomorrow. I'll be there. Bye. Bye. This Must Be the Gig is produced by Adam Kibble, and we'd like to thank Billy Yost and The Kickback for our theme song, Rube. And buy their music at thekickbackband.com. Lexi Frame for the artwork, Daniel Brater and Dean Berger for the additional sound design, and the Consequence Podcast Network, where you'll find a bunch of other amazing shows. If you've listened this far, why not go the extra mile and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts? Your comments provide valuable feedback for us, and it helps other people find us too. For information on new episodes, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at TMBTGpod, and generally just irritate everyone you know about the show. Thanks again, and I miss you already.
Consequence Podcast Network.